takes, you know, takes over, but pretty much the commission's hands are tied as to, they have to serve the people under the Rehab Act.
Bill, I guess if we're to follow the Rehab Act, I mean, and then they tie our hands by saying we can't ask questions. How can you follow a Rehab Act if you can't ask questions?
Well, I don't see it as a hand-tying sort of thing. What I see it as is that the Commission for the Blind's purpose is to serve blind people, if, you know, whoever's present in the state. And the Commission for the Blind has the privilege of serving anybody who comes. To me, it's not a tying of hands, it's a freeing. The commission is free from dealing with any of those kinds of things because they aren't related to blindness. And the Commission for the Blind's function is to serve blind people. And that's why, you know, in the eligibility requirements, which we also received from Commissioner Cordova, there is no questioning of that kind because it doesn't have anything to do with blindness. And so that's why it is the way it is. It isn't a restricting thing, it's actually a freeing.
Well, if we're to follow the Rehab Act, it's a tying of hands. If you can't ask questions, then it's a tying of hands, because how can you follow an act if you can't ask questions?
Well, the kinds of questions that you can ask under the Rehab Act are questions having to do with, are you blind? I mean, a person does need to have proof of blindness. And so in determining eligibility, then the people in the commission can, on the commission staff, can ask questions about that, because that's what is relevant to them. So it isn't, the Rehab Act isn't saying so you can't ask any questions. It's just saying that the questions need to be related to what your job is, which is to serve blind people.
Well,
yeah, if you suspect that a person is being trained, you know, they're not a legal immigrant, your responsibility, I suppose, would be to go to INS and say that, you know, turn the guy in.
But, well, an individual person can do that if he or she chooses to do that, but that has nothing to do with the commission. I mean, I think we really do have the answer to our question, which was...
See, I have more questions, and I've written him a letter also, and he hasn't responded to my letter, so it seems like I don't have any clout with RSA, but which is okay, but what if RSA comes and audits our books and we aren't following the law?
Well, if the commission is serving blind people who are present in the state, then the commission is abiding by the law, and that's what RSA will find.
No, they're not, because the law is right here. If you want somebody to read the print copy.
I have it also.
I do, okay. Too.
Well,
and
I think
what it says.
We had a legitimate question, because there was, you know, in any of these kinds of issues, there's multiple sources, and they all, some of them seem contradictory. And we asked RSA, and couldn't have asked it any clearer. I mean, I think some of our response that we got back, the first response we got back, wasn't clear at all. I mean, it sounded like eligibility included disability, ability to work legally in the United States, and ability to complete a individual employment plan. Well, the second one was be able to legally work in the United States, and so that was the way I interpreted it. Was, well, that just clearly says that's, you know, the person's got to be legally working in the United States. But then that question then was sent to RSA, and he came back saying,
and clarified that for
said
us.
Said that, no, that's not.
That isn't part of eligibility. In fact, it isn't even part of what the agency can prove. It has no authority
they
to do that.
They can't inquire into that.
Can't inquire into it. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we have not only now the ruling, but a history or a fleshing out of how that happened. And, you know, I really think that if there is anything further, I mean, anybody is welcome to question, but the law does state that, and the clarification of the law and the eligibility requirements, we have those. We also have the clarification about, you know, what constitutes employment requirements. All the agency needs to do is verify, once someone is employed, that the person is employed and what that person's salary is for purposes of its records. And anything having to do with citizenship status or whatever is still up to the employer and that individual and the immigration people. It is not, I mean, that it's that really is how it is. So
now, are you saying for an employer to hire someone from a different country, that is nobody's business but those them and them?
No, I'm saying that if an employer is hiring someone who is a non-citizen, that it's up to that employer if they have things in place. Now, I've talked to private people who employ, and they're you know, for government employment, there is supposed to be a form that an employer fills out saying, yes, I've checked on this and the documentation is available. As far as private employers go, their stuff is changing all the time, and so exactly what constitutes proof if they ask for it and what constitutes the need to or the requirement to ask, all of that stuff is sort of in flux right now. The good news for us is that it is none of our business and that we don't have anything to do with it. So those other kinds of things, if people want to talk about those in other venues, then that's fine. But as far as the Commission for the Blind is concerned and our job as a
okay, Barb, that's your interpretation.
No, it isn't. It's
we still RSAs. Have questions. I still have questions of this RSA commissioner.
Then I suggest that you take them to that person, because we have inquired and we have received the answer that it is none of
the answer you wanted. The answer you wanted, you got, and I still have questions, and I think, as a member of the board, I still have a right to say we need those questions answered. He has not clarified the law at all to me.
And then, you know, if he hasn't cleared it to you, then I suggest that you contact him individually. But I believe that the answer is clear, that the agency is not to question those kinds of things, and that it is up to
so then
employer.
every foreign person from another country comes through here, anyone in Lincoln could call the INS and ask them to come out and investigate their status?
Not officially as a staff responsibility on the Commission for the Blind staff, no.
No, I'm not asking you
well,
that.
Well, if somebody outside, or I suppose if somebody had a dislike for that guy, even if the student of the commission, I guess we call the INS and say, oh, I think there's some guy out here that's in the United States illegally. Yeah, they could report to the INS, but you couldn't report to the commission because the commission wouldn't have jurisdiction over those things.
That's right. You couldn't report it to the commission to do anything about, and a staff person on the Commission for the Blind could not do that as a staff function. I mean, you know, individuals can do what individuals will do, but as a public servant, that would be inappropriate. Okay.
Okay, you can go on and we'll still have questions, and I will contact him personally, because I don't think you're right, and I don't think he's right.
But as far as from the commission standpoint, we asked the question and he answered, so we if we can't get in trouble because we...
We'll have documentation from him, and so we can't get into trouble. So he's the one who's going to have to take responsibility then.
Right.
But his responsibility is based on quotations from the eligibility requirements and the Rehab Act. So he's on pretty firm ground.
Barb, the Rehab Act is very clear. The very first paragraph defines, you know, who's it's for. And so he's just like taking text out of the context, is pretext.
Every law that has anything to do with anything has also a legislative history. It also has comments. The rules and regulations that we were sent that go with the Rehab Act had comment on that specific A12 or 12A of 101 section. And part of the comment section, which I did send to all of you guys, but you haven't because Pearl sent it to all of us, part of that comment section said specifically that this is to mean that anyone will be served, and it meant anyone. Okay.
Well, yeah,
Bill
I haven't.
Is, Bill
haven't
is needing to leave, and
I
so,
haven't received yeah. that yet.
I did send it, and so did Pearl. And
okay.
I think hopefully,
now,
when you get the attachment thing worked out as far as your email situation goes, you'll be able to.
I want it in print format.
Okay, well, you know, I'm sure that it can be.
Do you want me to do that, Barbara, or do you want me to send print the response correspondence in print?
No, what are you wanting in print? I thought that you already had the Rehab Act itself in print. You talked about having it here.
The comments.
Yes, I want the
now,
comments.
The rules and regulations, the support document. That is what you're wanting in print?
I want all his comments in print.
So the correspondence between the board and...
No, not the board, Barb and...
Oh, Barbara acted on behalf of the board.
Yes, I did.
You should. Those should be in. They could be resent, Dorothy. But those.
And generally,
were all...
when I sent those things, in fact, the final thing that I sent to everybody, which was, I have it with me here. That was on the 5th, Thursday,
August
5th. I both pasted and attached because I knew that you were having trouble with attachments. And so, you know, when I say that I'm pasting and attaching something, that means that the pasted thing is exactly the same as the attachment. It's just that when something is an attachment, it keeps its format. And when it's pasted, it becomes long and short, weird email type lines. And so that's the only difference. But it was pasted, and I will do that again if that's...
I would like it in print.
In print?
Yes. Mail to me.
Okay. So the document that I sent on Thursday, that's what you want in print.
And probably the letter that was sent before that, that
before
solicited that.
That
response. And it, you know, it'd be, I mean, it took three times to drag out of
yeah.
it, you know,
yeah.
the specific, you know, I mean, he stated it far more straightforward and clear the third time than he did the first two times.
Yes, but that's the way, I mean, that's the way all of us human beings tend to be. I mean, once we, you know, we may have our first response, and then if somebody says, well, but I don't get that, you know, then you'll clarify it, and I think that, you know, I'm grateful to Mr. Cordova for continuing to respond to our official inquiries, even when the first and second times didn't do it.
Well, I think by the third time he knew exactly what we were talking about, and then he could form.
Well, maybe
his answer.
The letter I sent to him, he got it clear what we were asking.
So you want me to send you the copy of the final,
and your letter prior to that. Your letter asking him for more clarification, because there's still, I have lots of questions.
Okay, because the big long document that I sent before this last one, I rearranged things so that they were in chronological order. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us are used to getting things email-wise, you know, where the most recent is on top and all of that. My brain works better if I can do it from the furthest back to the present.
Mm-hmm.
So I rearranged that, and I said so at the beginning of the message.
Mm-hmm. I received that.
Okay, so that one you got. Now that one has the original letter.
Mm-hmm.
It has his response. It has my follow-up email and his response to that, which still to me wasn't clear enough. And so, you know, I asked again and got a, you know, the thing that I sent last, the very last thing that I sent was, my interpretation of what he had said and his response to that. So, which thing do you still need?
I want the last letter you sent to him and his response.
Okay, so... so the follow-up letter that we didn't get a clear response, so we, you know, so then, so you want my interpretation of that and the response. So I, you know, I'll try to print everything and send it.
Because, it, you know, it talks about how state rehab agencies are to work collaboratively with the workforce development.
Well, workforce development isn't the immigration people.
No, it isn't the immigration people. But why would they say for us to work hand in hand? And why would the very first paragraph of the act state for all Americans? And then it goes into real detail about who Americans are. You know, so it just means be present in the country or what? That's the questions I have of him, Barb. I'm not arguing with him. I with you, I'm asking these questions. And those are the questions I have of him.
Well, you know, the and so, you know, yeah, you can ask questions of RSA and you know, the workforce development thing is because there is a VR part of the agency. There's also the independent living, and what sometimes happens with people is that they will start out working in the independent living part of an agency's service system when things are being worked out, because there are things that cause blindness that also cause other kinds of things, and a person really isn't. I mean, that person may be absolutely blind, but they're not physically able to be thinking about employment yet. And so sometimes what people will do, it's kind of a fluid system, is that they'll start out with on the independent living side of things where there isn't an individualized plan for employment, because it isn't known yet whether that person will become employed. But it is known that the person's blind and needs services. At the point at which someone, if that situation is the case, gets well enough with whatever else is happening besides blindness, or gets a situation where their language skills are more developed or that kind of thing, if it's someone who is not a native English speaking person, then they may transfer from independent living to the VR part of the agency. So, you know, there are all kinds of things that can happen that make that workable. But the workforce development thing is partly because there is a part of the agency that does have to do with employment. But anyway, I'm not going to presume to answer questions that you may have for the Rehabilitation Services Administration.
But I'm just saying it's not final.
I believe that we do have a final ruling as to what the commission is supposed to do under the Rehab Act.
Read his last thing that he sent, because that's the one Dorothy hasn't seen.
Okay.
It was pretty short.
Yes, it was.
Whether he is following the law or not, that's another question.
Well, but he's our...
And he has to. I mean, he would be out of his job if he didn't. I said, I'm sending your message along with my interpretation of your response to our follow-up question to which you refer to my fellow commissioners and Dr. Van Zandt. Thank you for all of your assistance in this matter. And then I said that I would put my, the interpretation to which he was referring first, so that we would know what we were talking about. And so my interpretation of the law was, there is no citizenship requirement, and the state VR agency does not have the authority to make a legal determination of work status. In other words, we are to serve any blind persons, including immigrants, who are present in the state and apply for services. Once someone applies for a job, it is up to that person and his or her employer to deal with legal status, because both the employer and immigration officials are going to expect that. It is, therefore, a good idea for the person to have those things in place from the start, but is not up to the agency for the blind either to require citizenship or to determine legal status. And then his response to that was, Barbara, I have reviewed your interpretation of our response regarding the matter of serving immigrants and believe that you have correctly reflected our position. I am also citing below the section from the rehabilitation regulations which set forth the requirements and conditions for determining eligibility for all applicants with disabilities. As stated in this section, only the requirements cited in this section can be used for purposes of determining eligibility. In other words, no additional requirements, such as proof of legal work status or proof of residency, can be imposed by the state during the assessment for eligibility process beyond the criteria provided for in Section 361.42 of the regulations implementing the Rehabilitation Act. Following the development and completion of the Individualized Plan for Employment, IPE, the state must verify that the individual has been successfully competitively employed for a minimum of 90 days in order to be considered as a successful employment outcome under the rehabilitation program. The state's only legal obligation is to ensure verification of employment for an individual and not to determine legal work status, since, as I have mentioned earlier, the authority to make this determination rests solely with immigration officials. Please let me know if I can be of further assistance. And then he does have the regulation. And the regulations are that 361.42, assessment for determining eligibility and priority for services. In order to determine whether an individual is eligible for vocational rehabilitation services and the individual's priority under an order of selection of services, if the state is operating under an order of selection, which we don't, the designated state unit, which would be the Commission for the Blind in this state, must conduct an assessment for determining eligibility and priority for services. The assessment must be conducted in the most integrated setting possible, consistent with the individual's needs and informed choice, and in accordance with the following provisions. A, eligibility requirements. 1, basic requirements. The designated state unit's determination of an applicant's eligibility for vocational rehabilitation services must be based on only on the following requirements. 1, a determination by qualified personnel that the applicant has a physical or mental impairment. 2, a determination by qualified personnel that the applicant's physical or mental impairment constitutes or results in a substantial impediment to employment for the applicant. 3, a determination by a qualified vocational rehabilitation counselor employed by the designated state unit that the applicant requires vocational rehabilitation services to prepare for, secure, retain, or regain employment consistent with the applicant's unique strengths, resources, priorities, concerns, abilities, capabilities, interests, and informed choice. 4, a presumption in accordance with paragraph A2 of this section that the applicant can benefit in terms of an employment outcome from the provision of vocational rehabilitation services. That's it.
But see, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
You're using the word immigrant, and I have never, ever I even clarified it for Carlos. I am not talking about immigrants. If somebody comes here on a visitor's visa, a student visa, you know, are they eligible for services?
We didn't use the word immigrant. We used the word non-citizen in all of our correspondence. And,
well, see,
you know, in fact, he said there are no citizenship requirements. You
okay,
know,
citizenship, but it's a long process to become a citizen. If you become, you can become a temporary resident and you can become a permanent resident, but yet you're not a citizen.
Yes, but that is the job
okay.
of the Immigration and Naturalization Service people to determine any of those levels of.
See, we didn't differentiate.
Legality.
We just asked non-citizens.
No, we didn't differentiate because
you asked the question citizen.
Non-citizen is our original question.
Yeah, non-citizen was our...
Non-citizen, but see, someone, an immigrant who comes in and has permanent residency but is not yet a citizen, they're eligible for different...
But what the law says in our case is there is no citizenship requirement and the state PR agency does not have the authority to make a legal determination.
No, I'm not talking about citizenship. I'm talking about residency. Because there's a two-step process before anyone can apply
but
for
citizenship. But people don't need to be residents in order to apply for services. They need to be present in the state, and that is in that 10112.
So if they come in on a visitor's visa,
absolutely. If
then
someone,
they're eligible for services.
Yes, if someone is down at the city mission and wants to apply for services, that person can apply for services. The only reason that the agency needs to have some kind of address or phone number or something for the person is not to prove where that person's from or anything like that, but so that blind person can be contacted by the agency. So there is no, you know, if someone walks in and they're living wherever they're living.
I am still not
present in the state. That's what the law is, and that's what we abide by.
That's your opinion, see, Barb, and I
no,
still
no,
question.
Isn't.
There's
That's
still more clarification for me.
Okay, now, what I want to do at this point with us as a board is for us to, you know, we have asked the question, as we said we would do, at our last meeting. We have received an official response from someone who would lose his job if he interpreted it in any way that was not germane.
Well, he may.
You know, he can't.
He may
do that. I mean, he's responsible for the response that he gives, and I think that's another reason that it sometimes takes several goes at it to get a response, because every step of the way when he's responding to us, he's checking and making sure that.
So
what
then,
he's saying is
do you
accurate.
Mind if I'm going to forward all the correspondence on to Senator Nelson and B. Ryder and see, because Congress makes the laws, and see if they agree with his interpretation?
You know, as an individual person, anybody has a right to do whatever an individual person does. You know, as chairman of the board, would not be in favor of us as a commission board doing that.
Now,
you know,
okay.
The board can vote if it wants to. I think that we have our answer, and I think if somebody wants to officially, or, you know, to unofficially do something, that there's no no law against that. But
there's no law against
but
it.
But as a commission board, do we want to do that?
I'm perfectly clear with what he said, but I am glad that it got clarified a couple times.
See, it's not clarified
yet.
It is clarified to me. It is not, Barb. It is not.
To me, it is.
Well,
that's Nancy speaking, by the way.
Yes, I know. It's not clarified to me, and I don't think he is looking at the whole Rehab Act. He's just taken, you know, little sections to whatever fits the need.
Well, I mean, we've asked and answered, so we're protected if, I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You know, that, and that, if you want as an individual...
Well, see...
March on and crusade, then that's within your rights.
So...
As a board?
As an individual, we got free speech, but Bill got told that he was wrong as a commissioner to bring up his opinions. So then, as an individual, I can't bring up more questions. It has to come from the board.
One of the things that we talked about at our May 29th meeting was that if we are clear about the fact that something is coming from an individual, we still, of course, are responsible for what we say as an individual, and we're going to have people respond or react to us based on what we say. You know, people who deal with us have the right to respond or react to something that we say or do. And if they think it's not right, they have a right to tell us that, or to tell the individual that, whichever it is. If it's something that comes from us as an official action, then people would be responding to all of us. If it comes from an individual, people would be responding from the individual. You know, if we're doing something officially, we have decided that it would go over the signature of the chairman. If someone does something individually, they need to make sure that they clarify that this is coming from the individual,
mm-hmm.
and not from the board as a whole. That is what I'm clarifying here.
Okay.
Is the board as a whole satisfied with the answer that we got?
No.
We have one individual who isn't. I'm talking, is the board as a whole satisfied?
I think it's clarified. For me, it's clarified.
Bob?
You know, the way I pulled that, you know, and sent to you, Barb, the first two letters, I mean, and I mean, it's because he said specifically in the first letter, eligibility, that the second one was being able to legally work in the United States. And it's clear that it's not up to NCBI to determine status. Anybody in the state, regardless of how they got here, is eligible on that basis. But I guess I still, you know, and I didn't have any original information. I just took what he said, and in my reading of it, the way I interpreted it was that he said, you know, in this first letter, this is, you know, 1976, our policy has been on serving non-citizens, that the three eligibilities were, you know, the disability, the legally able to work in the United States, and the third was being able to complete the individualized employment plan.
But those weren't really eligibilities. Those were three separate things that were mentioned, but they weren't, and that's where we had some confusion about, you know, it was written with semicolons, and it was confusingly written. But those things didn't really have to do with each other. I mean, that's where interpretation comes in. But they really didn't.
And that's, you know, the third letter. If he'd sent the third letter first, I think it's. But it's my question would be, you know, that's why it's unfortunate to do this in writing. If he was sitting here, you could ask him, boom, boom, be resolved in a minute. When it, you know, it's one thing, you know, the question I would have is to make sure that he's answering the question as asked. It's clear that status is not something NCBI is either is even able to take into account. But then that raises the question, if being able to work legally in the United States is a requirement, then the follow-up question is, what is NCBI's requirement for determining that if the person says
it? Its only requirement is that once a person gets a job, however the person gets the job, which is between the employer and the individual person, once the person gets a job, however they get it, for purposes of its records, all NCBVI has to do is to verify, yes, this person is working, and yes, this person is earning a wage, and that is all. There are no more, there are no other questions that can be asked or that are asked. Now, whether or not, you know, as I was mentioning before, it's up in the air right now with the immigration people and with the various employers, whether they're government employers or private employers, exactly what is required. What constitutes proof? Is somebody waiting? You know, my reader works for a big company here in town, and there are people who have been waiting for years to get, to get their green card, but because it's in process, that particular employer accepts that as proof. But there is no document of proof. And, you know, the people, someone came to our church and talked about this issue right after our last meeting, interestingly enough, and talked about the complications of it. But the bottom line for us is that none of that for the Commission for the Blind is relevant. Now, the third thing that that Mr. Cordova sent is the ruling. You know, we were getting it, as you say, in pieces. And part of what he wrote initially was confusing. He acknowledged, you know, that by helping us to redefine it. And he would have to, I mean, with his bosses, well, with everybody else, he'd have to live with what he just sent.
I think he clearly answered your question. And it's not, the NCBI is not qualified, nor are they supposed to get involved in determining legal eligibility to work. That's not their job, and that's and citizenship is not their job. But in
preparing a person to be employable, that's what the job is. Not to hire somebody, not to, you know, make that person qualified for a specific job or whatever. But the commission's role is to help somebody be employable, and then it's up to that person and anybody whose job that person applies for to work out anything that employer requires. Now, the commission may help with JAWS or something like that, a blindness-related thing, if an employer and the person wanting to get a job needs to have that kind of thing happen. That has to do with blindness, so that is relevant sometimes. But as Bill said before he left, if somebody from Immigration and Naturalization figures out that somebody may have a problem with legal status or that kind of thing, and that person happens to be in some phase of the program of the commission, and that person comes and wants to talk to that individual person, that's their job. And if they determine that person's illegal, then they do whatever they do about that. But it isn't up to the commission to do that.
Well, I wrote him a letter and asked him how it interfaced. The Rehab Act interfaces with the Patriot Act and the new, the INS is no longer the INS. It's Homeland Security / Citizen Immigration Services. So there's no longer an INS. But, so how does the Rehab Act interface with those two acts? New acts, and I haven't gotten a response from him as yet. There's so many new things that have happened in the last year. The Rehab Act is in the process of being rewritten too, Bart. So,
well, our job's not to imagine what's going to happen in the future, but the only thing I know about this issue is what I read in his responses, and in his first two letters, when he you went on the NCBVI's role in determining status, and he's clear that's not NCBI's job, and that's clearly asked and answered. But he brought up since 1976 that this is how we've dealt with non-citizens, and so that, you know, that was my point, that in reading those first two letters, I interpreted it to mean that does play a role. And so I guess, you know, I was willing to move on, but when you asked the board, or do we think we're, and the answer was clear, and I guess I have to say that No, I mean, it's, I still don't think he resolved the issue that he brought up in the first two letters in that respect. I mean, if he'd sent the third letter first and that's all he'd said, then I think it, you know, it'd be clear, but the, he answered the third letter, I think could be dealing with another issue in that, that I agree he answered. NCBI has no role in determining a person's legal status or ability to work in this country legally. But if being able to work in this country legally is a requirement, then that's, someone else has to prove that, and a person would have to, then the issue is, does a person have to show proof, or what proof does he have to show?
But they wouldn't have to show it to NCBI in any case. I mean, they might have to show it to an employer.
And I agree, that could be the interpretation. The third letter could, because the third letter does say this is NCBI's responsibility, so his first letter might have just been talking about something else, and now we're just down to what NCBI's role in all this is.
Yes, I think we finally, you know, what we finally got to was, and this happens on a lot of things, you know, when I've dealt with a lot of issues over time, I mean, whether it's with my kids or in teaching or anything else, you know, people have communicative interaction. That is, you ask a question and the person responds, and then you build on that. You don't say, oh, but I want to go back to what you said to begin with because you said that 2 days ago or you know, a year ago or whenever it was that you said that particular thing. If you have responded to that and said, you know, this is what I'm talking about now, this is what I meant by that, then to go back and say, but you said that other thing. Well, okay. I think all of us as human beings do that all the time. But once we understand what someone is really talking about, what they're really getting at, then we can clarify it in terms of that understanding. That's why we did the follow-up thing and asked about specifically, this is what we're talking about.
Right, and
you know,
I guess
if we sent him the interpretations that, you know, I sent to him the interpretation that you had of the first two things brought together.
So he received that.
I sent him that. He saw that.
Okay, and then that was my question, because
yes,
I thought he just saw that.
No.
So if he saw that, then
he
saw all of that.
And I sent you an email saying, I'm forwarding this to him for response. And I sent all of, you know, both of those emails.
Well, when you read it to Dorothy, you didn't read that part, and that's what it, because my interpretation would be, you know, the way Dorothy's kind of interpreting it, but then, so that, I mean, I couldn't have stated any clearly.
No, you couldn't have, and that was his response to that. And
okay, and that's, I'm satisfied then, because I wasn't sure that he received that part. You'd said in the email that you'd sent that, but you didn't
yes,
read
did.
That part, and so I thought maybe you just sent your interpretation, so. So
no, and the reason I didn't read that was that, you know, you had sent that just to me,
right.
And so I had sent it on to him as something that I had received as chairman, but since you hadn't sent it to everybody on the board, I didn't presume, you know,
right.
Go ahead and do that.
Well, it's nothing, it's just, but I couldn't have said it any more clearly, and so if he saw that, then
that's... And he did respond to that, yes he did.
Then
he saw that, and he responded to that, and that's what he was was talking about.
Well, it's been asked and answered, and so Dorothy, I mean, we're certainly all willing to or able to, you know, go conduct other questions, but and I can even send you the, you know, my interpretation and that was passed on, because I couldn't have said it any clearer than taking what his first two letters, that it looked to me like he was saying that it was that. There was a legal ability to work in the United States was a requirement, and so his third response in context of receiving my part and Barb what she just read, that's, I mean, it's, you might disagree with his interpretation, but we are, you know, absolutely from a commission standpoint covered as
we have.
Yes, we are. I mean, I give you know,
right.
If you want me to, Bob, I can send you know, I can send everybody what you had sent to me, which
you might as well, I think, is in context with what his response, the fact that he saw both, that, you know, that just, and I think that should be kept in the commission's
file
someplace, because
right.
If someone ever, you know,
questions it would be there to protect us, but I, you know, you say it's his job, but the first time he sent a response, it wasn't accurate. So, you know, we asked for more clarification. So, I mean, he isn't...
He's a human being just like we are.
That's right.
Well, he answered the question that he thought...
But he answered the question he thought we were asking in a way that he thought was clear at that point, but it wasn't on target, which he, you know, acknowledged in later...
But it wasn't an incorrect...
But it wasn't incorrect, and it wasn't fraudulent, and it wasn't something that if he'd shown it to his superiors, they would have said, now, wait a minute, Mr. Cordova, this is not accurate. Because it wasn't a flagrant separation from the law.
I'm just saying, you know, we have documentation from him to put in our files to, you know, where we asked the question.
Yes,
and we got protection, but I'm saying I don't think he's interpreting it right, and that's a question I want to know for myself. And I will write a letter to him, you know, that if he responds.
You know, your questions are pretty broad, Dorothy. I mean, you know, how does this, you know, I mean, those kinds of questions might